Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
What's up, baby? Woo! What's up? Oh man, let's just jump right in this.
All right.
In this life, there are two paths you can choose to take. There's the path of life, which is Jesus' path, and then there's the path of destruction, which is Satan's path. In my life, I grew up in a Christian home with my mom, my sister Brittany, and my dad. Long story short, my second grade year, my dad got diagnosed with a disease called dementia. And long story short, after a grueling process, he eventually died my freshman year of high school. And in that time, I could have chose to go after God, to go with everything I have, but instead, I didn't. I went right to the path of destruction. I started partying with my friends. I didn't care about anything. I started smoking weed. I honestly could not have cared about anything. It was a really rough time for me, but he never left. All those times I thought I was so far from him, he never left me. He was right there in my ear, and all he was saying was, "Brandon, come home. Just come home." Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're in the same process I am. Maybe it's even worse than that. Maybe it's not that worse. You know there's faith in the room tonight. He's here, and he loves you so much, so much. He gave his one and only son for you guys. Once you understand that and you keep going with it in your life, you'll realize how much he truly loves you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." Guys, it's not easy going through high school when you have all the things coming at you every single week, but you don't have to do that by yourself. Jesus Christ is here, and he loves you guys so much, okay? God gives us a free will, and tonight, you guys have that choice. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to chase God, or do you want to go down the path of destruction, which is not a good path for you? My advice to you is choose life. God will meet you where you are, and he will do miraculous things in your life. And see, when you're in that, there's times where you're gonna accidentally try to run away. You're gonna run away and you're gonna say, "God, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Okay? I'm running away. Oh, would you move? Oh." And then he brings people like Elijah DeMarco in your way, and Jake LaValle in your way. And he knows these guys are men of God that will keep you from anything that you're struggling with. That's the power of God, and that's how much he loves you. That's all I got for you guys tonight.
Hello. So, in case you guys don't know me, my name is Leah. I'm 17, and fun fact, I'm actually bilingual, so I'm fluent in Spanish. But, so one thing we all have in common, hopefully, is that we were all born with the tongue. And while sometimes it can be our greatest asset, it can also be our greatest enemy. So with that, I'm going to talk about a little bit the power of our words. So there's a cool story in Acts chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. So in summary, God sent the Apostle Paul to Jerusalem, and while he was speaking to a group of Jews, they recognized that he used to be Saul, the one who persecuted and killed them. So the crowd got angry, and they got the Roman soldiers to go and arrest him, but they didn't know why. So when they had Paul locked up, the soldiers were like, "Okay, explain to us, why did we have you arrested?" But Paul's only alibi was that he, you know, found the light in Jesus, and he could only give his testimony. But the soldiers still weren't convinced. So they're like, "You know what? Let's torture him into telling us the truth." So they planned to go whip him and beat him, but the second they were going to lay that whip on him, he said, "Excuse me, in case you guys didn't know, your boss, Caesar, has a law where you can't hurt me, a Roman citizen, before putting me on trial. And the soldiers, as my friends like to say, were quaking. So the soldiers were scared now because they had to face Caesar, who was their boss, because they just broke their own law. So what I want to get out of that is sometimes we can speak ourselves into situations, but we can also speak ourselves out of them. So the way that Paul responded to a situation is an outline of how we need to respond to our situations. Too many of us today are allowing ourselves to give up the fight, not always by our actions, but by our words. Jesus says it in the Bible that the same power that lives in Jesus lives in us. And you know what that includes? The power of your words. There's countless examples in the Bible that shows you. Like in John, where he healed a paralyzed man just by saying, pick up your mat, walk and go home. You are healed. And he did. But he also cursed that one fig tree. He's like, may you never produce fruit again. And it didn't. So we live in a culture today where it's okay to be realistic or pessimistic. But in reality, it's not. Because every word you speak, you declare over your life. For example, oh my gosh, watch it rain on the day of my prom, like of all days. Or next year I'm going into college, I didn't get any scholarships, I'm gonna have to take out a loan, and I'll probably be in debt for the rest of my life. Or even as simple as, no one sits next to me in the lunch table. There must be something wrong with me that no one wants to be my friend. But guys, if we keep saying that over our lives, we gotta stop being surprised when that situation follows our prophecy. Because if we think about it, being pessimistic or realistic is the result of considering your situation before considering your source, Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we're always going to feel overwhelmed by the situation. So in the chapter, Paul could have easily given up to those soldiers and let them beat him to death. But the difference was that Paul considered his source, Jesus, who sent him to Jerusalem for a specific reason. He considered that before considering his situation, that he was locked up and pretty much close to his death. And with his trust and his faith, he had the ability to speak against his situation. He wasn't going to go down without a fight, and we shouldn't either. Now, how did Paul say what he said? Because he had the heart to see the power and authority in his words. How was he aware of the authority? He knew what God spoke over him. Because when you begin to think a certain way, you begin to believe it. When you develop that mindset, you begin to speak it. And when you speak it, you position your heart to either accept or reject the blessing God has given you. Because he only gives us blessings in overabundance. If there's one thing you gotta take from my message, is that we cannot let the situations we are in dictate what we believe, but instead we have to let what we believe about our Jesus dictate how we see our situation. We can't stand up against the problems in our life without a firm foundation. And that foundation is in knowing what Jesus did for us and what God speaks over our lives. Because the more of God's word you put into your heart, the more convinced you are, and the more fruit you are going to physically see in your life. So instead of opening up your mouth to agree with the problem that you see, let's start opening our mouths to agree with what the word of God says about our problem. So let's all be like Paul. Let's raise our voice and say, Satan can't hurt me because I know my prom's on Friday and God knows too. So the Weather Channel's telling me it's going to rain all week, but I know that God's going to let me have a fun time. Or instead of saying, I'll be in debt for the rest of my life, I'll say, I know that in Psalms, God says that he provides my every need. So I thank him that he's going to find a way and I'm going to let him do his thing. And instead of saying, I'll never have friends, I'm gonna go through high school all by myself, instead, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that he has people lined up, ready to invest in my life. Though I can't see it now, I know that the righteous person faces many troubles, Psalm says, but the Lord comes to the rescue every single time. It's developing this kind of lifestyle and mindset takes so much commitment. It's not going to happen overnight, but the fruit you're going to see in your life is overabundant. That is all. Thank you.
All right, hold on. I'm going to post that Thrive story. Go hit it up, right?
If you don't follow Thrive, follow us. Thrive and Victory.
All right, I got some questions. I didn't need this. All right, let's see who got it. That's my dude right there. So, you don't want it? Okay. Why do you go to school every day?
Why? Because I need to get an education.
Such a good answer. Such a good answer. It's a bad answer. That's what it is. All right. Do you play any sports?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why?
Because it's fun.
Quality answer. All right, we got one more. Who wants it? Who heard it? Oh, I heard Cordray. Okay. Why do you get up in the morning?
Because I have to go to school.
That kind of correlates to her. I got to stop pulling this away from my mouth. Okay, so it seems like all our answers are kind of basic answers, something that everybody else's answers would be. You know, our whys are all just, there's no meaning to them. Well, there is. You know, you got to go to school, and you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what your parents say. But there's more to life than just going to school. Let's see what the Bible says about it. The purposes of our heart are deep waters, but one has insight to draw them out. Our purpose is so deep. It's so deep underwater that you can't even see it anymore. It's that polluted water, too. It's like that trash thing out in the middle of the ocean, you know? Anybody seen that? Yeah, it's so deep down that you can't even see it anymore. But here's the thing. We can still draw it out. Our purpose is not drowned. It's still down there. We can still get it. We can go fishing. We get our fishing pole. Reel it up, pull that purpose up, because we have a purpose. There's more to this life than just going to school and playing sports. God didn't send you to be here like everybody else. What would be the point? Why would he make you to be like everybody else? But God's purpose for our life is so much more than just our life now. I just made that up. That wasn't even in here. But you like that? But from the verse that really catches me that every morning I just think, but from the beginning, Mark 10:6, But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. You know, the biggest thing that stands out to me is God made. We're God made. Do you ever realize that you're God made? Do you wake up in the morning and realize you're God made? Do you go to school and realize you're God made? Do you walk through the halls and just pout your head and be like, oh, that kid said hi to me. I'm not going to say hi to him. I'm too tired. I think Jesus was a little bit tired when he was hanging on that cross for you, but you can't even say hi to your brother? Come on. You have a purpose. You have a purpose to spread love. You have a purpose to share the gospel and share God. Share God through you because God is love, so you show love. That's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to reach this world. We got to be different than the rest of this world if we're going to change this world. So what does this look like? What does it look like to be different? I think God gave us a perfect example. Yeah, Jesus came here to die on the cross and save our sins. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, we going to heaven, y'all. All right. But I think he was here for a bigger purpose. Not a bigger purpose. That was his number one. But he was here for another purpose, too. He was a perfect example. Absolutely perfect. Sinless. So you could just look at him and say, that's how I want to live my life. You got that bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? But I think sometimes we think, what would Jesus do? And then we do the complete opposite. All right. So it's a Tuesday morning and you just heard the news. A girl sent out a nudes last night. Everybody's like, oh, nobody's talking to her. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, Zach said not to say it, so I can't. What is wrong with that girl? So everybody's being that, and you know what Jesus would do? He would be different, because Jesus was different. Like when in, John 8, 1 through, Lily, don't Snapchat me, I'm speaking. When about the woman caught in adultery, everybody's like, oh, shame her. Get her out of here. And that's like, and Jesus is like, no, I don't condemn her. I don't condemn her. Go along with your life. So what would Jesus do in high school? You would go up to that girl and you'd say to her, I'm here for you. I'm not just going to shame you like everybody else in the school. Our schools are so gone. It's all about just making fun of other people. There's no reason to it. We're not spreading love anymore. There's no point. So in high school, I got another one for you. So, That's your sister. That says it right here. While Jesus was having dinner, Mark 9:10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. In high school, that looks to me like sinners. We're all sinners, but that looks to me like that. You sit with that kid that's blackout drunk on the weekends. And yeah, I said sit with him. Who just gasped? Oh, you mean I gotta sit with a guy that's drunk every weekend? And yeah. Yeah, you gotta be his friend. We're showing love. We're not just gonna let him go and let him ruin his life. We're gonna change it. We're gonna show him love, and we're gonna get him places that are far beyond this high school and this experience that we're living. All right? So, and then the other thing to that is the tax collectors. Now, in Jesus' time, the tax collectors were people that just were outcasts. Nobody wanted to talk to them. We all have those people sitting at the table alone. And by the way, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself here. This is for me too. I do the same thing. I wake up this morning, I have these same struggles. I go to high school just like all you, except for you, Ryan. You're homeschooled. You don't got to deal with this. Get out of here. All right. But where are the homeschool people at? Hey, there he is. Dude, you know, what are you doing? All right, so just with these outcasts. So that's sitting with him. Jesus had dinner with them, and you can't sit for 30 minutes, although my school gives me like 15 minutes, but for like 30 minutes and have lunch with them, what would Jesus do? You wear the bracelet, but you don't live it. What are you? Oh, I'm about to start yelling up in here. And my answer is, well, yeah, you got to be friends with everybody, even the person that's blackout drunk. And if you are that person, we're so happy you're here right now. We love you. We are so happy you're here right now. Come back, because it just gets better. All right, but maybe it could be different. Drop the jewel. Drop the jewel in the offering bucket. We'll take care of it for you. All right, so, oh, we got a second page. What am I at? I'm sorry. All right, so be the one who talks to the weird kid. Be the one who talks to the girl that sent out nudes. Be the one who's not like everybody else. Jesus was different. The only way Jesus was the same was his skin color, which, by the way, was not white. So we can get that out of our head. Jesus was not white. Oh, gosh. We got so much problems we got to fix. So let's really be like Jesus. Let's go out, change the world, filled with so much hate and evil. Let's spread love. Let us not fit in anymore. Open up the prison you're holding God. You're holding love in. Open the gate and let it out. Show it in your schools all over the place. Walk down the street and say, I love you. Don't ask you, that's kind of weird. But maybe just like give them a high five or something. Don't just let them go throughout their life. What if that was you? What if you were the one walking through no friends? And nobody said anything to you. You feel pretty bad, and you're just going to let that happen to somebody else? We got to be different than the school, different than everybody else. We have to be different to change this world, or it's just going to stay the same. Or why would he even make us? Why would he make us to be the same as everybody else? You were made to spread love, to spread him, because he is love. You were made to be different. I can't drop the mic, but I would, and I'm out.
Hey guys, what is up? How are you guys doing tonight? I'm so excited to be doing this. Yeah. So yeah, my name's Sienna. For those of you that do not know me, I've been at Victory since birth. So that's like 17 years or something. So that's a long time. I even like remember the old church way before this church. So it's crazy. And yeah, I've been serving in Thrive since Zach and Lauren Blair invited me here. So it's crazy I'm up here, and this is my first time speaking ever, and the only time I've ever been up here was actually dancing, so this is cool. And for my message, I wanted to speak about something that hopefully you guys can relate to, and the title of my message is Grounded in Faith, and what that means is standing up for what you believe in. In today's society, it can be pretty hard to stand up for your beliefs, especially as a